This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
The first one is, it's difficult enough to understand the morality of Yaakov's behavior with regard to his father Yitzchok in diverting the brokers to himself away from Esau. And even if we'll say that he was entitled to do so and so on, it's still difficult to understand on what basis he could mislead Yaakov, he could mislead Yitzchok. If he felt that al pi halacha the brokers should go to himself, then he should have gone to Yitzchok, who was also his rebbe, and he should have discussed the matter with him and said, I made a deal with Esau, Rivka had nevuah, let him come out with the whole story. And let Yitzchok decide that Yitzchok passed it. What is the justification to, in an apparently underhand sort of way, divert the brokers? The halacha, the Rambam passes to the Hilchos Bechira, that ein meichlin boso neveila lenochlin bichalal shchutim afal pi shaneveilu etzlin shchutim. One isn't permitted to sell an avelo to a goy, an avelo is a sheikhid shechting the animal, and he finds that after the shechita his knife wasn't quite right, or that during the shechita his hand slipped up and he didn't do the action absolutely correctly. Those are cases of an avelo. One isn't permitted to sell that animal to a goy as a shechuta, as a kosher animal. Even though as far as a goy is concerned, there is no difference between an avelo and a shchuta. He doesn't have any halachas with that regard, and he can eat it just the same. Nevertheless, one isn't permitted. Why? Excuse me, because this is, thank you, this is the din of genevus dat, habrius, of misleading people, and one isn't permitted to mislead people. Geneva usually implies benefit to me. If I cause you loss and there's no benefit to me, that's called nezek, that's called damage. If there is benefit to me, that's called geneva, that's called theft. When we talk of geneva's dat, of stealing a person's mind, which implies benefit to me, what's the benefit to me from selling the boso nevela as boso shkuta, what is it best? The Gemara says in Chulin on that Kalidalit that I will get undeserved gratitude. That's the benefit I get. The Goy says, my goodness, even me, you give not to shchutos, what you dish up for me is as good as it is for you. Thank you for going to the effort. And he shows me a gratitude which in fact is not deserved. Therefore, the Gemara does that to imply something, that I've done something for somebody which I haven't. One isn't permitted to do. The Rambam goes through giving various different examples of Zeva Sadat, which applies to Jew and Gentile the same. One isn't permitted in any way to mislead the Gentile. That's the case. How do we understand Yaakov's handling of his father Yitzchok? And furthermore, that's difficult enough to understand. But we say, the outstanding midah of Yaakov, that midah, that characteristic which Yaakov stood for and which Yaakov injected into the roots of Am Yisrael, was the characteristic of emes, truth. And that on the surface is a little bit odd. Let Yitzchok be the emes, the midah ta'emes. Let Avraham be the midah ta'emes. Why does the Chazal choose, why does the Torah choose Yaakov, the only one about whom there is so much apparent trickery? He buys the potato from Yaakov from Esau, and then he feel the mind of Yitzchak is cheating. Yitzchak says to say, into giving him the broker, later on with Lavan. The only one who shows skills at deception is Yaakov. We never saw it with Avraham, we never saw it with Yitzchak. Why is Yaakov the one who's chosen as the epitome of the middle of them? What does it say by the teacher? But let's say that we understand why he was allowed to perform all this deception. Let us understand, even without going into it, let us be Mekabel, will accept that Yaakov Avinu had to show him would never have done anything like this if it wasn't absolutely in order. So we'll accept that it was 100% and absolutely in order for him to do so. But still, should he be chosen as the exemplification of the Midah Ta'emet? This is the example. The second question. The third question. Why did Yaakov have to go to such trouble? This question is a question of Rabbi Isaac Sher. Rabbi Isaac Sher was the son-in-law of Rabbi Moshe Tzvi Pinkus. He was Rosh Yeshiva Slabotsev. He escaped during the war, before the war, and he came to Israel and re-established the Slabotsev Yeshiva there. And he points out, later on, when Yosef brings Ephraim and Manasseh to get a bracha from Yaakov, Bayar Yisrael is B'nei Yosef, and Yisrael saw the children of Yosef. Bayomer Mi'ele, and he said, who are these? Says Rashi. Bikesh Lebarko, he was about to give them a bracha. Then the Stalko Shino Mimenu, and the Shino disappeared, and he couldn't give a bracha. The presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam disappeared from him, he couldn't give a bracha. Why? The Bisha Ofri Yerovam, the Achav Notes Ephraim, because also the Yerovam and Achav were going to come out of Ephraim, the Yehu of one of the Menasheh, and Yehu and his children would come out of Menasheh. The Shoyim were going to come out of his children, and the Shechina departed as he was about to give a bracha, prevented him from giving a bracha. Although Ephraim and Menasheh in their own rights were very great tzaddikim, although out of Ephraim and Menasheh they came later on very great tzaddikim, Yoshua came from Ephraim, tremendous tzaddikim and manhigim came from Ephraim and Menasheh, but because there were a few Rishoyim as well, the Shechina just removed itself and Yaakov couldn't give them a blessing. So what did Yitzchak have to battle so much for? What did he think? When Yaakov came to give the bracha to Esau, the Shechina was going to sit around and wait? Who exactly, what godel, what tzaddik has come out of Esau? Despite all the tzaddikim that came out of Ephraim and Manasseh, because there were a few Rishoyim, the Shechina withdrew itself. From Esau there were no tzaddikim, only Rishoyim. What harmony did Yitzchak have? What did Yaakov have that Yitzchak might get away with giving him the bracha? Certainly it wouldn't happen. So all the skaldadiri wasn't necessary. He could have sat quietly, and the time would have come, and Yitzchak would have given him the wanted to give the bracha, and he would have said, he's there, who is this? The Shechina's gone, what's happening? And it would all have come right. And it was only because of Bayenim Yehli, he said to me, who is this? Says Rashi, Mehechin Yotzuel, where did they come from? Shehinam Ruhini Broker, these can't be my grandchildren. They're not fit for a broker, who are they? And it's only because of Yehli's sinners that the Shehinam returned and the Yaakov was able to give a broker to his grandchildren. The other question, Rivka knew with Ruach HaKodesh. What was meant to happen? Chazal tell us she went to ask the Shaila of Shem, Me'achtan. And that's what it means, the beginning of the Seder. Batelech Lidroishet Hashem. She went to find out what the Ribbono wants of her. She went to ask the Shaila, she went to Shem. Vayomer Hashem lo, and Shem told her in the name of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Shnei goyim bevitnei, there are two nations in your womb. Ushnei lumi mime'ayich yiporeidu, and two people will separate from the womb, and the one nation will become more powerful than the other, the Rav Yaveh Tsoi, and the older one will be subservient to the younger one. So she knew from the beginning that Yaakov was the one who was going to be the senior one, despite his later birth. And Yitzchok knew already, because he received it from Avraham, and Avraham was told to get rid of Yishmael, the Rebbeinu said to him, don't worry, keep the Yitzchok Yikoreishim, because your name will be called by Yitzchok. And the Gemara learns in the Dorim that the Yitzchok drew part of Yitzchok, not all of Yitzchok. So Avraham already knew that Yitzchak was going to have more than one child, and that only one of those children was going to succeed him. Rivka knows that which is the one that Yaakov is not Esau. With absolute clarity she knows that. So why doesn't she tell Yaakov? Why doesn't she tell Yitzchak? That would have solved the problem as well. They could tell Yitzchak. I went to Shem, and you can check up if you don't trust me. I asked Shem what's going on, and he said, the Rav Yaakov is first. Yosef is to the younger one. What are we messing around with? That's the fourth question. And the fifth question is the business of buying and selling the Bechidot, the birthright. What kind of a sale is developed? So can one buy and sell Bechidot? And certainly under situations of such pressure, the man was about to die. What kind of sale is that? I'm solid. Holding him up, you're putting a revolver in his back, and you say, you agree to sell? Yeah, sure. What do you expect him to sell? On the third question that we asked, why Rivka didn't inform Yitzchak of the Nevuah, there's a Ramban that touches on it. Says the Ramban, the Prophet Dalad of Perek Kabzayim, Hoyo Bedaitu Lavoret Esau, it was the intention of Yitzchak to bless Esau, she yizke hu bevirkat Avrom, that he should benefit from the brocha of Avrom, Linchol et Ha'oret, to inherit the land, Beliyeyus hu bar Abris Levikim, and that he should possess the covenant with the Ribbono Shel Olam, that Esau would be the successor. Ki hu ha'bechor, because he was the bechor. Would appear that Rivka never ever told him about the prophecy that she received, that the older one would be subservient to the younger one. How would it be possible for Yitzchak to disobey the word of the Ribbono Shel Olam if he knew that that was his word? In the beginning she didn't tell him because it wasn't ethical to tell him. When she went to ask the Shaila from Shem, she went without his permission. And having done that, she's now going to live with it herself. It's her own thing. She went, she got the Nevuah, and that's it. And it would be unethical for her afterwards to say, you know, I once went without your permission, this is what I was told. Too late. Oisha Amro, alternatively, she might have had the opinion, Eina noichi tzlichu lagid nevua lenovi, yihu godel min amagidu. I don't have to tell a novi that I've had prophecy. He's also a prophet. He must know that I've had prophecy. There's the famous story of my great uncle, when he was when he used to teach Gemara, the Gemara used to talk about Gilu Eliyahu, that Eliyahu appears to people. Talmidim used to ask him, well, is it possible, is it real, is that feasible, that Talmidim appears? I know a young man who had an encounter with Eliyahu, possible. But the story never came up throughout his life, until the very end. And eventually the story came up not from him. What was the story? Once his wife was desperately ill. The whole yeshiva that he was building up depended on her. There was no way that he could carry the burden of his own family and the yeshiva without her. She used to feed the boys, she used to prepare the food, handle everything. She did everything. She looked after all their material needs. And she was desperately ill. The doctor had given up hope already and she was dying. And when there was nothing to do, a man knocked on the door and walked in. A man who he didn't know, never seen before, never saw since. He told him that if he goes down to the river next to a particular bridge, he'll find particular grasses, describe the grass. He should take a certain measure of those grasses and boil it for a certain amount of time and give it to him, and he'll be all right, which he did, and she recovered immediately. But nobody ever heard the story. Much later on in his life, he went to the Geira Rebbe of the time. And he said to the Geira Rebbe that he would like a bracha from the Geira Rebbe. The Geira Rebbe said, a young man who's had Gilu Eliyahu doesn't need a bracha from me. And then he was astonished. He'd never told the story to anybody. Nobody in the world except Rebellion knew the story. And he answered, you know that I had Gilu Eliyahu. all the more reason I need a blessing from you. Because obviously the only way the Gator ever could have known is that Eliyahu told him. Nobody else at that point, the only two who knew about it was Eliyahu and the Belia. The only way that the Gator ever could have heard the story eventually came out from the Gator ever told somebody else. That's how we discovered the story. And very reluctantly, when the Belia was confronted with the story and a Yom Kippur after a lot of pressure before he was committed to eat, he admitted that the story was true. The Ritzko says, I don't have to tell Yaakov, I don't have to tell Yitzchok that I had Nevoah, he doesn't know this. If he needs to know, he'll know himself, not for me to tell him. V'atalei rotzto leimu lei kach bugad yimeis Hashem, said him leidot. Now he doesn't want to say, before I gave birth, this is what the Rebbeinu Shem told me. Be it as it may, what the Ramban concludes is that she worked out halakhically that it's not for her to tell you. That halakhic conclusion that it's not for her to tell you so means that it was the will of the Rebbeinu Shleilim that Yitzchok should remain in the dark. That's what comes up. She's not criticized for not telling Yitzchok. So it emerges that it was the will of the Rebbeinu Shleilim that she should remain in the dark, that she should not know, that Yitzchok should not know about that level. What does emet mean? Rav Isaac Scher explains, actually based on a recent position, that emet is not merely saying that which is true. Rav Isaac explains that the stature of a human being is determined by the degree of his knowledge of truth. That's the difference between a person has to adapt his attitude, his mind, his personality, his conduct to the end. He has to establish what is true, and then he has to adapt his life to the truth rather than adapt the truth to his life. And the more a person knows the truth and is able to adapt his life to the truth, the greater he becomes. Simple as that. And that's why it is the Bible says that the name of God is such a terrible thing. Because if you convey inaccurate knowledge to a person, it's not just that you're taking something away from him. If you steal his motor car, he's without a motor car. The same human being, but he's without a motor car. If you steal knowledge from him, if you give him inaccurate information, you're making him a smaller human being. You're making him a less competent human being. He's going to reorientate his life towards information which is inaccurate, which is not correct, and he can live a life which is a lie. It's a terrible thing. The Rebbe does one of the worst things. The communication of emet is to communicate to a person an idea or a concept or a fact which is emet, absolutely and clearly true. But sometimes it might be necessary to be deceitful in order to communicate that truth. Might be necessary to tell a lie. Let's say you're dealing with a sugar, and he calls night day, and he calls day and night. So he says to you, I will, what time, or he says to you, can we have a shakri tomorrow night? Now, you could say, I can't answer him yes, because that's a lie. Can't have a shakri tomorrow night. So you say, no, you can't daven shakris tomorrow night, you can daven shakris tomorrow morning. Oh, he says, tefillin, can I put on the tefillin also tomorrow morning? You say, yes. Then you wait, tomorrow comes, 6 o'clock in the morning, 7, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, he doesn't get daven, he doesn't put in his tefillin, it's night time by him. And the night time, the sun goes down and it goes night, now you told him that he can put on his tefillin, now he's daven shakris, he puts on his tefillin. You know that he's going to shoot him. You know that he falls night, day, and day, night. You can't change that. That's what he does. That's his mishugah. So what did he mean? You've got to interpret. When he said to you, can I daven shakris and can I put on tefillin tomorrow night? What did he mean? He meant tomorrow morning. And the correct answer for you is yes, you can. An anorexic believes that he or she is overweight. It's mishugah. And they can lose weight and lose weight and lose weight until they're on the verge of death, and they believe they're overweight. Comes an anorexic to you and says, he has chocolate in his hand. He says, tell me, is this going to make me fat? What must your answer be? If you say the truth is, yes, it will make you put on weight. But his definition of fat is different to yours. He considers himself fat. He considers sin as being fat. So the correct answer to him is no. That chocolate will not make you fat. That chocolate will make you sin. It will make you normal. It will make you... That's really what the analytic wants to know. Is it going to make me worse than normal, or is it going to bring me back to normality? He was anorexic, a South African anorexic. He was on the verge of death. And the doctors had given up hope. And they sent him back to Rabbi Lipschitz. And Rabbi Lipschitz cured him. Relatively quickly. And this was one of the mechanisms that he used. He gave her boxes of chocolates, which he told her were designed and manufactured by a great dietitian at the Hebrew University. They're thin-making chocolates. They make you very thin. They're the most wonderful chocolates. And he adjusted his scale that every time she weighed herself, she would see herself weighing a little bit less. And she gobbled his chocolates up like you can't imagine. And she put on weight and she had to save her life. The parents of this girl were Tachomi. They once came to see me. They can't stand lies. How can a rabbi tell lies? They can't stand this business. They brought her back. They broke the news to her that the rabbi was telling her lies. Chocolates don't make people thin, they make them fat. And she never sat in hospital as severe as she ever was before. Who's telling the lies? Who's telling the truth? You've got to determine when a crooked mind define things in a crooked way. Until you can rectify the crookedness of the mind, you've either got to have nothing to do with such a person, or if you find yourself dealing with such a person, you have to deal with them on their terms and their definitions. Otherwise you're speaking different languages. It doesn't work. I don't know what you're talking about. You say black and they read white, and you know that that's how they're reading, because you understand the Meshuggah. One has to be very careful. One has to word one's responses in such a way that their understanding will lead them to the truth. That their perception of what you say, communication isn't just a monologue, communication is a dialogue. You talking and he must understand that. Emeth means he must understand the truth. I communicate the truth doesn't mean I must say the truth. I communicate the truth means you must understand the truth. And what happens in an odd case where because of your crooked and warped mind, in order for you to understand the truth, I've got to tell a lie? That's one of the cases. One allowed to tell a lie, one has to tell a lie. I'm not telling a lie. That's not even recorded as one of the cases of Meshani Medayimet, where you're allowed to deviate from the truth. That is the truth. You're not deviating from the truth. That is the truth. That's how you communicate truth to that human being. That's how you define it. In that case, there's a basic shirt. What about Yaakov and Yitzchok? Yitzchok believed that Esau had to get the bronze. He did not have the Nebuah which Rivka had. Rivka did not share a Nebuah with him. He did know from Avraham his father that the Yitzchok, 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 and not all of Yitzchok, that only one of the children could get the bracha. It was the bracha of succession, that he had no halakhic justification to take it out of Esau's hands and to give it to Yaakov. He didn't have the prophecy and he had no lack of justification. So in Yitzchok's terms, Esau is the halachic support. Yaakov and Yitzchok, through their Nebuah, understand that those terms are wrong. The emes is that Yaakov is the support. That's why we've got that rush at the beginning of the Sedra, that really Yaakov was created before Yitzchok. What does it mean? What are we saying with terms? When do you define a before by who was conceived first? The first is the one that comes out first, not his conceived first. What does Chazal mean when they tell us these stories? Yaakov was really created first, or Chazal are telling us that I'll be Emes, Yaakov at the din of the Bechor, and not Esau. Whatever reason, Yaakov at the din of the Bechor. Once that's the case, we can understand the dialogue between Yitzchok and Yaakov a little bit better. Firstly, when Rivka originally suggests the idea to Yitzchok, what does he say? He doesn't say, Chas v'Shalom, that's a lie. Maybe my father will touch me and he'll feel. And in his eyes I will appear a con man. And so I will be telling a lie. I understand that that is the truth. The brothers must come to me. That's the MS. I'm the authority. But Yitzchok doesn't understand that. My father doesn't understand that. And the Enov I will appear as a Messiah. They feel like, no, 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 my curse is rather than bless you. And she answers them. So it goes on. Vayovoel Ovi Vayomer Ovi. And he came to his father and he said, Ovi, my father. Vayomer Hineni. And Yitzchok, the father, answers, yes, here I am. Me atodini. Who are you, my son? Now that's one of two things that Esau can, that Yaakov can answer. He can answer, I'm Esau, or he can answer, I'm Yaakov. But he understands the meaning of that question. Who are you, my son? Are you my b'chor, or are you my second born? That's what he's asking. Are you the one I will give the brothers to, or are you the brother of the one I will give the brothers to? If he answers, I'm Yaakov, and it's again, it's like talking to the anorectic and the anorectic too. If he says, I'm Yaakov, that means he's answering, no, I'm the brother of the one who's meant to get the brother. And that's a lie. He's not. I am the one who's meant to get the brother. So he has to say, I am Esau. That's the truth. You regard Esau as the Bechor. And you're asking, am I Esau? The answer is, yes, I am the Bechor. According to you, Esau equals Bechor. The MS is Yaakov equals Bechor. But I can't change your mind. I'm not allowed to. I can't prove that all the reasons we've discussed, the Rebbeinu wanted to be this way, that you should remain in the dark. So we've got to leave you believing the formula Esau equals the third. On the basis of the formula Esau equals the third, I am Esau for the third. I'm the one who gives the brothers, not the other. Not you. Not the other. Not Esau. And so it goes. So the deception, we're beginning to understand. The first question we begin to understand. Not only is this not deception, but this is the correct way of communicating with a person whose frame of reference is distorted. For whatever reason. The question now is, why did Yaakov have to do this? But Yaakov was waited, Yitzchak would have come in, he would have gone after the brother, the Shekhinah would have appeared, and Yitzchak would have found himself impotent in his ability to give a brother to Esau. The thing would have sorted out. The nevuah of Rivka is not that the tzoyer, that the young ones, will wipe out the older ones, will exterminate the older ones. It's the Rav Yavi tzoyer. The older one will be subjected by the young one. Esau will be subjected by Yaakov. What is the essence of Esau? Ish Yudea Tzayid Ish Sodeh. He was a hunter, man of the field. Chazal tell us that the Yudea Tzayid, Rashi brings, Lotsu to the Rames as Ovi the field. He knew how to hunt and cheat his father with his mouth. He was the epitome of slyness and manipulation. So when the Nebuah is the Rav Yavi Tzayid, it is that slyness and manipulation will be overcome and will be subjected by Tzmimus, by Yaakov, by the Yitayimus. It's not sufficient to disengage oneself from slyness, from mirror. The seed has to be conquered. It has to be handled and it has to be overpowered with energy. And the method of overpowering the seat with energy is the method we've just discussed. That you say is of the Isaac shirt you can use to answer the second question too. It's not sufficient merely to avoid coming into any contact with you. Part of the function of energy is the conquest of the seat. Not the avoidance of the conquest of the seat. And the conquest of the seat means taking a crooked person and by bending him, making him straight. That's the conquest of the seat. If you take a crooked person and deal with him straight, you'll be crooked. That's not conquering the seat, that's becoming deceitful. If you just ignore the crooked person altogether, that's not conquering the seat. If you take a crooked person and you bend him, you make him into something great, and that is the Kohen. The Yonah Gaon says, I'm the prophet in Mishlei. Ani Chochma Shokanti Orm. I am wisdom, and I dwell with slime. This is the growth. Ki min ha-teiro tivolei loy orm. Because from Torah, one develops the art of deceit. From learning Torah, one develops the art of deceit. Now previously, the Vilna Gaon has described deceit as the ability to perceive deceit in others, which of course is the first step. You've got to identify the Meshuggah effect. You've got to understand that he calls day night and night day. You've got to identify that this is an anorexic, that he calls normal fat, and he calls the thin fat, everything is fat, anything that's alive is fat. One has to understand that. But the growth goes on. Even after he volleyed lo ormo, such as Yaakov, Shehoyo Ishtam, who after all was a simple man, a straight man, one who learned Torah in the Bosei Medrash. Vahu Rimo es Esau Belovon, and he cheated Esau Belovon, and he uses the word Rimo, he cheated him. How can a girl say such a thing? Yaakov cheated Esau Belovon. The answer is yes. But when you cheat a lie, you get the truth. That's Emet. To perceive a lie, to perceive Shechem, and to know how to distort it back into truth, that is it. And the ability to take Shechem, to take something dishonest and untrue, and twist it back into straightness, and twist it back into truth, that is the conquest of Shechem by Emet. That's the Rav Yavi Tzuri. The junior one will subject the older one. That is why, later on, when Esav comes broken-hearted to Yaakov, to Yitzchak, and he also asks for a broken, Yitzchak says, Bo ochicho b'mirmo, v'yikach b'rchotem. Your brother has come with slime, and he has taken your brother. And Ulfilus translates that mirmo, the chuchmo, he's come with wisdom. What does that mean? That the Torah is slimy, the Torah doesn't say something. Why does Winston translate it as the chuchmah? You get in the growth. Orama, the ability to take a lie and twist it back into truth is the greatest wisdom there is, the greatest chuchmah there is. It's not such a chuchmah to be straight when there's no deviation. When the road is only straight, to travel straight, you don't have to be a chuchmah. But when you're off course, and you've got to travel crooked, you've got to go back off course in order to eventually come on course. That's an advocate. A person is driving one of these big jumbo jets, and all you have to do is turn the dials onto your next destination and put away from the plane gets there. You don't have to be a navigator. That's a computer does it. But if a jumbo jet goes right off course, and the radio is not working, and he knows he's supposed to be traveling north, and he figures out that to get back onto course, he's got to start traveling west, navigate. And the control tower will say to him, what direction are you traveling in? He says, I'm traveling west. And they say, 1 second, where do you come from? He says, from Johannesburg. And they say, where are you going to? He says, to Zurich. So you're an idiot. You're going from Johannesburg to Zurich and you're traveling west. What's wrong with you? He says, if everything was all right, I would be traveling north. You're right. But I'm off course. And when you're off course, you've got to go off course again in order to come onto course. That's the art of navigation. The chokmah of Emeskite is to know how to handle Shekhar, because we're living in a world of Shekhar. We're surrounded by this mistrust and deviation and undermining and form of blindness and deception. We are surrounded by it. We need to know not only how to avoid it, not sufficient to know how to avoid it. We need to know how to handle it, how to take it and twist it back into straight. This mirror writing, as kids they write messages to each other. Not good enough to look at it and say, I can't read it, nothing, throw it away. But to learn how to hold it up to a mirror, and normally when you hold something up to a mirror, it makes the thing illegible. But you've got to understand that something which is illegible can be made legible by holding it up to the mirror. That's a chokmah, that's a wisdom. By the way, later on the Vilna Gaon says that this ability of Torah to inculcate into a human being the art of deception is the danger of prayer. And that's why it's somehow more this than not dealing with. That's why it can be so dangerous and to make people so wicked. So there's no guarantee to righteousness. On the contrary, it gives one a good dose of blindness and deception, which one is meant to use against the world of Sheker. But if a person doesn't have Yiddish Shemayim, says Zivil Nagur, if he doesn't learn Musa, and he doesn't clean out his system after he's learned, and refine himself and work on himself, he's left with a deceptive power, which he can easily misuse. And he can use it against Emet, and he's meant to use it against Sheker. The ability to distort is essential, because the distortion of distortion creates correction. But if one uses the ability to distort against something which is correct, one creates distortion. Therefore, it was not the will of the Ribbono Shel Olam that Yitzchak should be in the picture. Because if Yitzchak would be in the picture, Esav would be avoided. The whole thing would never take place. That's not what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants. The Ribbono Shel Olam wants to teach the world that Amidat HaEmet. Emes le'yatrev, Yatrev is the epitome of Emes, not Avraham who never had to do it, not Yitzchok who never had to do it. Yatrev who had to take deception and distort deception until it came true again, that's the Midas Emes. And for that, Yitzchok had to remain in the dark. The brokers had to be stolen away from the thief in order to get back into the hands of their rightful owners. The stealing it away from the thief, the taking it away from its distorted form and straightening it out, is the essence of the middle of the middle of Emes, of the characteristic of truth. The last thing we need to deal with is why was Yitzchak so impressed with Esav? We see that Esav was the master of deception. Nevertheless, Yitzchak was a kind of prophet. Yitzchak in Torah was the greatest that we've had. Could Yitzchak not see through the deception of Esav? What does it mean that Esav was a master of deception? Was he true or wasn't he true? We know already, of course he was true. So what was his problem? The Yaltsin Shemoni brings the following message. So shall you Yaltsin the Esav in the Eimah? Yaltsin and Esav were in the womb of their mother. Amar le Yaltsin le Esav. Yaltsin said to Esav, Ahi, my brother, Shnei Eilomah is the Phoneme. There are two worlds before us. Eilom Azeh, Eilom Abba. This world, the material world, and the spiritual world of Eilom Habo is also before us. Ha'Eilom Azeh, Yesh Ve'achilo Ushiyo Nato Nato. This world, there's eating, drinking, business, Yisraisho, marriage, Ve'ilibonim and bonus, having children, building families, Aval Olam Haba, did you know? Olam Haba, terrible place. In Bukhtu Amidu Talol. Doesn't have all these things. No eating, no drinking, no marriage, no building families, no businesses. Not a nice place. The same for how about a deal? Tel Ato Olam Haba, Vaniya to Olam Haba. You have Olam Haba, I'll keep Olam Haba. Let's split. Yaakov already realizes in the womb that a partnership isn't going to work out. Miyad Kofar Esav Itziyat Amit. Esav immediately said, I don't believe in a world of chance. Esav Shor Notel, Esav Chelto, Ha'ilam Hazeh, Yaakov Notel Chelto Ha'ilam Hazeh. At that moment the deal was done. And that's how the Medrash learned Shat in this discussion between Yaakov and Esav later on, which was a reinforcement of the earlier discussion of selling your birthright to me. And Yaakov and Esav wanted something to die. Who needs anything spiritual when you're dead? After death, there's nothing. Shevoi Yaakov Nibes Lovah. And later on, when Yaakov comes from the house of Lovah, and you remember he meets Esav on the way. Veroloi Esav Bonim Bavonu Tavodim Shvotim. Esav looks, and he expects to see this old and weary Talmid Chotem with a long beard and a bent over back, hobbling along on a stick all by himself, with nothing to his name. And Yaakov and Esav comes very magnanimously, and what does he see? Esav, the prime of his life, with sons and daughters and wives and avodim, servants and maidservants and cattle and wealth, unbelievable. Amalei said to him, Yaakov, And the mediator, later from Adam, he didn't do a deal. He decided that you were going to take Olam Haba and I was going to get Olam Haba. What are you doing with all this wealth? Minayin lechot kol ha'momen hazeh, where did all this money come from? The Ben Yelofshin explains. But Esav was also a religious man. The only thing is, Esav believes that you don't have to compromise anything in Olam Hazeh. You don't have to compromise anything material in order to achieve your spiritual desire. You can achieve in both worlds equally well. And all your all your material ambitions and desires can be given expression to, and they in no way detract from one's spiritual desires and ambitions. You want to eat, you eat what you want, you do business the way you want, speak what you want, you want to tell lies, you can tell lies. When you come home, you'll go and eat some Ma'ariv, and you'll learn the Black Gemara, and you'll carry on the next day. There's no contradiction. And you can be a religious person and do what you want at the same time. You don't have to change your inside in order to achieve spiritual status. He didn't believe in an Olam Haba, in spiritual things as such. He believed in action. You needed to do certain external actions. You need to put on tefillin, you put on tefillin. When you finish putting on tefillin, you're going, you'll take your girlfriend out, even though you're married. What does it matter? You finish with that, you'll go and you'll kill somebody if they're getting in your way. You finish with that, you'll tell somebody a lie and make R$1 million, and you'll come back to the shir in the evening. So then you sort of tell all this. Yaakov realizes that's obvious. Olam Haba comes first, spiritual things come first, and there's no way that you can achieve spiritually while doing whatever you want, being whatever kind of animal you want on a physical level. A diplomat, a social, his social integration was outstanding. He got on well with people. He was a salesman. Yaakov didn't live. So Yitzchak to himself, this is ideal. That means all the lies and deception in the world can be handled by Esav. He was shown that that's his ability. He understands the world of deception. He understands the world of commerce and of politics. And he can operate in that world. That will leave Yaakov totally free to sit in the base of Medrash and never come out. It would be wonderful, and Esav will support Yaakov. And so there will be two groups in the Jewish community. He said, told him the story. Came in from the field, and he did a deal with me. He stole my Bechera. Omar says, the Kachu Yisi Meitzel Bechore, that's why I've been trembling. Shema Avati Ashur Afadim, maybe I did something wrong. Achshav Di Bechon Di Rachti, Gambor Shri, I listen to the world, how beautifully it should sing. Look at the Isaac Shur's Yisoy. Omar Reis, he says, that's what I was trembling about, and now that you told me this, Li Bechor Di Rachti, I did let the Bechor. I thought it wasn't the Bechor, it turns out he was the Bechor. What a new piece of information is this talk about? Changes of the Torah, failures of the Torah, what does it mean? Says Yitzchak, I always had the question of the halacha that the Torah gives to you, Esav. And I couldn't understand it. Yaakov's the Talmid Chacham, Yaakov's the Tzaddik, Yaakov's the Ben Torah. You're a fraud. But that's the halacha. Must be something in it. So the only interpretation I could give in my own mind is that you were going to work together with God. And that you would handle the outside world, you would handle the deceptive material world, and you would support the Yaakov. But for that you would need, in a situation of choice, to be prepared to choose Olam Haba over Olam Haba. If you're going to work for Yaakov, you've got to be prepared to make material sacrifices. When you bring home your salary at the end of the month, you share it with Yaakov. And if you don't value an Olam Haba, how are you going to give up your salary to a fellow in your life? How's it going to be? You've worked, you've risked your life, you've been out hunting in the wild with Matilus Nefesh. You've been away from your family. You've come back with R$1,000, are you going to give 500 to Yaakov? When you don't value what he's doing and you don't value what he stands for, I believe all along at least that you did value. But when Yaakov put you in a position of choice, your money or your life, you chose Olam Haba, you chose your man. That means you would never support Yah. In that case, there's no way that you can be the Bechor. With the prayer of Beirachti, I bless the Bechor. When I asked who my son was, and he answered, I'm Esav the Bechor, he was right. In my terms, he was the Bechor. That was the only way he could explain to me. Gam Boruch Yiyeh, and that's why he will also be Boruch. The Boruch is Chal. The Boruch will take full effect. It was given to the Bechorim. It wasn't given to the Sefer. And so we see, when Patitein Emes Liyakuv, of all the people in the Torah, of all the others, Yaakov is chosen as the one to teach us the middle of Emes. Not because he never had contact with Sheker. Not to have contact with Sheker, that's not Emes. Emes is the ability to have contact with Sheker and to twist it back into straight. To take something crooked and to make it straight. To understand the language of Sheker so well that one is able to manipulate it back into its correct position, back into its correct posture. That's Emes. That's what we really mean when the Torah talks about the place mission of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emes, that the Ribbono Shel Olam wants Emes, and that his seal is Emes. It's the subservience of Sheker to Emes. Taking dishonesty, taking deception, and turning it into straightness, instead of turning it into correction. That's the middle of Emes. And Yaakov with his softness, and Yaakov with his wisdom, was able to deceive them. We see that Emes Kait is not a naive simplicity. Emes Kait requires deep perception, vast knowledge and understanding, great sensitivity to human nature. Emes requires the ability to identify and to diagnose a situation immediately and to respond to it in the correct way that will result in that they will emerge from it. A communication which is in. Not only that what I say is in, but also that what is heard is in. Not only that that which is stated is in, but also that which is learnt and that which is perceived, even by a crooked person, because of the way it is presented, will also be in.